Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Nun Beis. We left off on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We are up to Glima Matiach, which is 7 lines from the end of the page toward the end of the line. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander and his wife and children. Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. So what we're going to talk about today is the following. First, we're going to talk about various surfaces that if a bird falls on would result in risuke varim and therefore the bird becoming a trefa, whereas other surfaces are considered soft or slippery enough where if the bird falls on such surfaces it would not result in risuke varim and the bird would not be considered a trefa. Then the Gemara is going to discuss damage to the rib cage that would make an animal a trefa and damage to the rib cage that would not make an animal a trefa and damage to the rib cage that's so bad that it would make an animal a nevela. When there's vertebrae damage as well, the Gemara is going to then discuss three other trefos that Shmuel had identified, one of which relates to the rib cage, and that's why we discuss all of them and we elaborate on each of the three that Shmuel identifies. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the trefa called drusa, that if an animal is clawed by another animal, it can become a trefa. So the Gemara is going to first talk about what the Tana is teaching us by giving us the example dafka of a ze'ev, of a wolf that is doing the clawing. What does that tell us about smaller animals doing the clawing? And then the Gemara is going to give cases where drusa can be done even by smaller animals. And that conversation of drusa is going to go into tomorrow's daf as well. So let's begin. Again, we are holding 7 lines from the end of the page on daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and we're talking about birds falling on a surface that sometimes when the bird falls it results in risuk evarim and sometimes not. So glima matiach, if a bird falls on a tautly held garment, that's a hard enough surface that it's going to be a trauma for the bird. But the lo matiach, if it's not tautly held, then lo chashina, then we don't have to be choshesh for isekei varim. Of umupaf, if it's doubled over, even though it is tightly held, but because it's doubled over, it can't be that tightly held, then lo chashina. The bird falling on that surface is not going to be a chashash of risukei varim. So if it falls on izla umikrovi kitri, if it falls on a net of some sort where the knots are very close to one another, cheshinon, then we are concerned for risuke varim because it probably fell on a knot or two which protrudes and likely shakes up the bird a little more. Lo mikrovi kitri, if the knots are not close to one another, then lo cheshinon, then we're not choshish for risuke varim. Kisno da'ovid betuni, if it's flax that's tied in bundles, cheshinon, we're choshish for risuke varim. Da'aigisu, but if it falls on the side of the bundle and it just slips down to the ground, then lo cheshinan, then we're not choshesh. Asuraisa cheshinan, but if it falls on bundles of reeds, then we are choshesh for risuke varim. Kitna didaik v'nafitz, if it falls on flax that is not bundled up, it's just spread out, but it's pishtan that has already been beaten and combed, lo cheshinan, we're not choshesh for risuke varim because it's considered to be very soft. Daik v'lo nafitz, if it was beaten but not yet combed, then cheshinan, then we are choshesh for risuke varim because we assume that it still has broken pieces of stalk in there that could be much harder and much more traumatic, cause a much more traumatic fall. Da'avid bizri, when it's made into bundles by weaving them together, kiven deika bekitri, since there are knots where they're stuck together, chashinan, then we are choshish frisagevarim. Dakta, broken pieces of stalk that fall from the flax when they shake it out, chashinan, we're choshish frisagevarim. Dakta, but the broken, that which falls off of the of that which falls off, then lo cheshinan, then we're not meaning second level of the broken pieces of stock, the lo cheshinan, then we're not going to be choshesh because that's considered to be much softer. Navra cheshinan, if that which grows around the palm tree that dries up and is not yet split into strips, we're choshesh because it's very hard. Timchasa, but that same stuff that grows around the palm tree that has been broken up into strips, lo cheshinan, and then it's considered soft already, and therefore we're not choshish for isekei varim. Kitmani hila, if you have ash that is that has been put through a sieve, cheshinan, when you compact it together again, so then it becomes something that's very hard, and we're choshish for isekei varim. Lo nihila, but if it wasn't sifted, then lo cheshinan, then we're not going to be choshish for isekei varim. Chola dak, on very soft sand, lo cheshinan, we're not choshish Rizkiv are meaning tiny pieces of sand, particles of sand that are all together, we're not Choshesh. Chola, gas, but if it's a more coarse sand, then Cheshinan, then we are Choshesh for Rizkivarim. Avak Drachim, the dirt from the roads, Cheshinan, is hard enough that we are Choshesh for Rizkivarim. Tivnova Avid Bezaka, if you have grain, the straw of Chitim and Saurim that are tied up in a bundle, Cheshinan, we're Choshesh, because that's a hard thing. Lo Avid Bezaka, but if it's not tied up in a bundle, lo Cheshinan. Chitiv called the Minayhu, wheat and any hard type of grain like wheat, cheshinan, then we are choshesh for Rizkivarim if it falls on it. Sa'ari v'kol d'minayu, but barley and other similar soft types of grains, other things that are hard like barley as well, cheshinan. Over there it's not a contrast, all the others, it fooled me over there. Right? Each one is cheshinan, alo cheshinan, and here we have two cheshinans in a row. Okay, kol mini kitnias, all types of beans, ein ba mishum Rizkivarim, is not a problem of Rizkivarim when the bird falls on it, because they're considered to be very slippery, they don't really stick to one another, so it doesn't really create a very strong impact. Levar min rubia, except for a rubia, if I recall correctly, from Rosh Hashanah night, that's a black eyed pea, if I'm not mistaken. So that will cause risugevarim, because it does stay compact together. Chimtzi ein bo mishum risugevarim, some type of bean that is round will not cause risugevarim because they don't stick together since they're all round. Chefzi, another type of thing that's not round, yesh bo mishum risugevarim. They are held more compactly together, and therefore it does lead to risugevarim. Klal d'milsa. The rule is kol midi d'mishrik. Anything that is slippery and doesn't stick to one another, ein bo mishum risugevarim, is not going to lead to risugevarim because the bird will not land with a hard impact. It will also slide off a little bit. Lo mishrik, but if it's not something that is smooth and slippery, yesh bo mishum risugevarim, then it's considered to be compacted together, and therefore when the bird hits it, it can create a serious impact. Says Gemara, dibuk. What if you have, the best I could tell is dibuk is like a glue trap, where you have a plank of wood and it has glue on it, and the bird lands on it, and it just sort of sticks to it, so that's the way to catch a bird, that they put some bird feed on the glue trap, and the bird will land on it to go for the food, and it will be stuck on the glue trap. So the thing is, the bird may get off the ground after he's stuck to the glue trap, but the weight of the trap itself is going to knock the bird right back down to the ground. And that's what we're concerned about. Landing on the trap doesn't do anything to him, but when he tries to get off the ground and then boom, he crashes back down to earth. So that's going to be the risugevarim concern. So Rav Ashi Shari Amemar Asar. Rav Ashi says is mutter, it's not going to be a problem with risugevarim. Amemar says is going to be Asar, is going to be a problem with risugevarim. Bechad Gapa, when only one of its wings is attached to the trap, everyone's going to say that that's mutter because he's going to be able to still fly with the other wing, so he'll be able to get off the ground. He's not going to come crashing back down so easily. Ki pligi betray gapi. They only argue with when their both wings are attached to the glue, so he may get off the ground, but he's going to come crashing down very quickly. Manda asar omar lach. The one that says that it's going to lead to risk evarim will say hechi nekum. How could it prevent itself from falling with a crash? Manda shari omar lach. And Ravashi, who's matir, will say that efshad nekum ikve degapi. He can sort of steel himself with the tips of his wings to make sure that he doesn't come crashing down. V'ikadamri, and others say the opposite, that betray gapi, that if both wings are attached to the glue trap, then kuli amlo pligi da'aser. Then everyone's going to say that there is a risugevarim problem, because if it gets off the ground, it's going to come crashing down without any defense. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas is bechad gapa, when it's only one wing that's attached to the trap. Man deshari Ravashi, who's matir omerlach, will tell you efshar deparach bechad gapa, that it can lift itself off and fly with one wing, and therefore it's not going to come crashing down. Uman di asar, and Amemar, who says that it's asar, kiven de bahay lo matzi parach, bahay nami lo matzi parach, since the wing that's attached to the glue trap is not going to be able to, is immobilized, so the other wing also will not be able to lift him off the ground, he's not going to be able to fly with it. V'hilchasam, we paskin, betray gapi asar, b'chad gapi shari. That if both wings are attached to the glue trap, then we assume that there is risugevarim and it's going to be asur, but if only one wing was attached to the glue trap, then it's going to be mutter. Period. That's the end of that discussion. Now we move on to the second discussion of the daf, which is about the rib cage of an animal. Nishtabru rov tzaloseho. We said most of the ribs are broken. It's one of the 18 trefos that we mentioned in the Mishnah. So Tan Rabbanan Eluhin rov tzlaos. How many is rov tzlaos that you need in order for the animal to be considered a trefa? In a behema, there are 22 ribs, 11 on the right side, 11 on the left side. So sheish mikan, v'sheish mikan. If there are six on each side that are broken, so that is rov tzlaos. Or if you could have 11 on one side and one on the other side, that's also rov tzlaos, because there are 22 in total. So as soon as you get more than 11, as soon as 12 of them are broken, so that's considered rov tzlaoseha, that's rov of the ribs are broken. So Amar Ziri umechatzion klape shidra, that it's only a trefa if the half of the rib that's closer to the spine is broken, meaning the rib goes around, the rib cage goes around the whole cavity of the animal's body. So there's the bottom part that's closer to, for lack of a better word, the chest of the animal, and then there's the part that's on the top that's closer to the spine. So only the half that's closer to the spine and the top of the animal's back, only if that part is broken is it considered to be a trefa. So and it's also only the larger ribs that have marrow in them, but not the smaller ribs that are closer to the tail. Because if without them, you wouldn't have rov tzlaos that are broken, unless you're mitzarif the katanos, then it's going to be ksheira. That the rov tzlaos need to be completely in the rov tzlaos, completely the tzlaos that have marrow. You can't combine the tzlaos that don't have marrow into the cheshbon of rov tzlaos. That's what the Prisha points out. If only the ones that don't have marrow were broken, then it's pashut that it's kosher, because it's not even rov tzlaos. Meaning if that's what the Gemara was talking about, that it's not going to be a treifa if the ones that don't have marrow are broken only, well, of course that's not a trefa. That's not rov. That's not rov tzlaos. So the chiddush of the Gemara over here is you do have rov tzlaos, but you only get to rov by counting the ones that don't have marrow. So that doesn't make it a trefa. It has to be rov tzlaos with the ones that actually do have marrow in them. Omar Ula, Ben Zakai Omar. So Ula says that Ben Zakai said, that's how Rashi has a girsa. Tosas girsa is Ula Ben Zakai Omer, that Ula the son of Zakai. So it's not Ula saying in the name of Ben Zakai, but it's Ula, who is Ben Zakai, says, okay, either way, Nekru, if the ribs have been uprooted from where they're attached into the spine, so the animal becomes a trefa, Barov Tzarechad, even if Rov of the ribs on one side had this problem. So you have six that, you have 11 on each side, so six of them become Nekar from the spine, that's enough to make it a trefa. Nishtabru, Barov Shneitzadim. If they're broken, then you need Barov Shneitzadim. You need 12 of the ribs to be broken in order for it to be a problem, in order for it to be a trefa. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bei Nekru, Bei Nishtabru, Barov Shneitzadim. Whether it's Nekar or Nishtaber, either way, you need Rov Shneitzadim. You would need 12 and not just 6. So Amar Rav, Nekra Tzela V'chulya Ima. If a rib were uprooted and the vertebrae that was attached to it was also Nekar, so trefa, then it's going to be a trefa. So Amar Rav Kan of Ravasi, the Rav. Rav Kan Rav Asit Rav Nekra Tzela Mikan V'Tzela Mikan. If a rib on one side and a rib the opposite rib on the other side were Nekar V'Chulya Kayemes, but they're still both the Chulya that they were both attached to is still in place. The vertebrae that they were both attached to is still in place. Mahu, what's the din? So Amar Lahu Gister Kamrisu. He said you're asking about a case where the animal is basically cut into two because two of its ribs on that are opposite one another are both Nekar, so there's no suffix at all. That, forget about that being a trefa, that's a nevela. A gistra is a nevela. It's like the animal's been cut in half. So ask the Gemara of Rav Nami Gistra Kamar, but Rav also said his din in a case where the behemoth was cut in half. Because even though he spoke about where it was not, where only one cella was Nekar, but since the chulio was Nekar with it, it, the tzela on the other side that's attached to it on its own falls away. So that should also be a nevela. So how come Rav only says that it's a trefa and not a nevela? So what was the shaila that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi asked after they already heard from Rav that it's going to be aser? So answers the Gemara, Rav didn't say his din in a case where the second rib on the other side slipped away and turned the animal into a gistra, because that would be a nevela. Kika amarav tzela below chulya. When Rav said his din of ne'akra, that's a rib without the chulya, and the tzela that's on the other side remains attached to the chulya, and therefore it's not going to be a nevela. But tzela v'chulya kamar. But what do you mean? Rav didn't say tzela without the chulya. He said tzela v'chulya. So how can you say that that the chulya is kayemes in Rav's case? The chulya is clearly not kayemes. He said tzela v'chulya. So answers the Gemara, even though Rav said tzela v'chulya, he doesn't mean that the chulya was entirely, that the vertebrae was entirely ne'akar, because then in a chinami, the tzela on the other side, the rib on the other side, would also fall out of place. So it means tzela the chatzi chulya. There's something in between, and that is the tzela, and half of the vertebrae are ne'akar, and the tzela on the other side is still attached quite well to the other chatzi chulya that's still in place. So that's where Rav said that it's a trefa. But in a chinami, if both ribs on both sides of the rib cage were ne'akar, so then in a chinami it would be gistro, it would be a nevela, it would be worse than a trefa. It's only tzela with half the chulya that makes it a trefa. So mechal Rav Kahana and Rav Asi tzela below chulya amri. So it sounds like that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi hold that when a rib is ne'akar even without the chulya, they were asking Rav, because in such a case, even in a case where part of the chulya was ne'akar, they already heard that Rav says that it's aser. So what were they asking further? So it must be that they were asking in a case where it was only the rib that was dislocated. It was only the rib that was dislodged and not the vertebrae. Because that's the only thing they hadn't yet heard from Rav. But that's Akasha. Va'amalu gistro kamrisu. On that, they say gistro kamrisu, that makes the animal a gistra. Va'amar ula ben zakei amar ne'akru berov tzad echad nishtabru berov shnei tzadim. I thought you can have many ribs that are ne'akar, and it's not it's not even a trefa, let alone a nevela. So how could it be that they were asking about a case where only a rib was dislocated, and they were told, gistera, that's even a nevela. What do you mean? You need rov tzadecha to be ne'akar in order even just to make it a trefa, let alone a nevela. So answers the Gemara, Amar Lach, maybe the we could answer that Ben Zakkai is not a stira to Rav. Hasam zeh shaloka negazeh. Ben Zakkai was talking about when it was ne'akar and it's a trefa, rov tzadechad is only when the two corresponding ribs are not ne'akar, meaning there were never two that were corresponding to one another. So therefore, less than six is not going to be a trefa. But hacha, in the case of Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, their shaila was in a case where it was zeh keneged zeh, and therefore Rav says that that's going to be a nevela, where the two corresponding ribs are a nevela. Where the two corresponding ribs are uprooted, it becomes a nevela. So asking about Vahamar Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan says that even if it's when it's ne'akar, it's not a trefa, unless it's berov shneit studin. Uberov shneit studin. Berov shneit studin means that there are 12 ribs on both sides. Six on one side, closer to the neck of the animal, and the six on the other side, closer to the tail of the animal. One of them is going to be the one that's zekenegedzeh, right? One of them is going to be, meaning if there are 11 on each side of the animal, so you want to tell me rov shneit studin means you need six broken ribs on the right side of the animal, six broken ribs on the left side of the animal. You cannot have at least an overlap of one where it's zeh keneged zeh, because if it's the last six and the first six, the middle one is still going to be zeh keneged zeh, because there are only 11 on each side. So nevertheless, he didn't say it's a trefa on account of it being zeh keneged zeh. He said it's only a trefa because it's rov on both sides. So that's a kasha on Rav, where Rav would say that if it's zeh keneged zeh, forget about trefa, it's an avela when it's zeh keneged zeh. So answer the Gemara, Hasam, Buchna below Asisa, that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about where it was Nekar, only the rib without the chulia at all. And therefore, even if it's Zukenegadzu, it's going to be Kshera. But Hacha, when Rav Kahn and Rav Asi said that Zukenegadzu is a problem, is Buchna ve'asisa. That's when the ribs and some of the vertebrae were also Ne'akar. Ihachi anudrav. Well, if that's the case, the Shaila of Rav Kahn and Rav Asi, when it was the rib and part of the chulia, that's exactly the case of Rav. And Rav already said that such an animal is a trefa, even though only one sella was ne'akar, even though only one rib was ne'akar. So kol shekein when it's two ribs that are ne'akar. So what are they asking Rav about? Rav already said that if you have one rib and part of the vertebrae that's attached to it, that's already going to make it a trefa. So why are they asking, what if you have two ribs and the vertebrae that are attached to it? Of course it's going to make it a trefa. So lo shmi elud Rav. It must be Rav Kahn and Rav Asi didn't know the din of Rav. They never heard Rav say anything, and therefore they were asking him the shayla. So ask the Gemara, if that's true, Rav Kahn and Rav Asi were asking because they never heard Rav's din, why don't they ask a case of one rib, which was Rav's actual din? Because if they didn't hear anything, then they should have asked about one rib, and then they could have moved on to a question of two ribs. Says the Gemara, you're right, they didn't hear anything about one rib, nor about two ribs. Nevertheless, they dafka chose to ask about two ribs because they tried to maximize their question. They wanted to maximize the response that they were going to get from Rav to figure out, instead of having to ask him two questions, they wanted to figure out how to ask him one question and get multiple answers. So Savri, Libaymine Chada, that they thought, if we ask him one Shaila, Deparish Lantarti, we can get an answer to two different questions. We can find out from the answer to the one question that we ask him what the din is when one rib is broken and what the din is when two ribs are broken. And that's what we've decided to do. So we won't have to ask him again. So Gemara says, why? If we ask him about one rib being broken, so he anicha yamrlan trefa. Look, if we were to ask him about one rib being broken and he tells us that that's a trefa, kol shekein tarti, then obviously when two ribs, it's also going to be a trefa, and we'd have our answer. But yamrlan kshera, if we ask him about one rib and he says kosher, akati tarti kami bayilan, then we're still not going to know what the din is about two ribs, and we're going to have to ask a follow-up question, and we'd rather not have to ask a follow-up question. So that's why we're going to start with asking about two ribs. Says Gemara, yeah, but depending on the answer, that could you still might have to ask him about one rib. Ihachi hashtanami dekabay minetarti. If you ask him about two ribs, it could be that anicha yomerlu ksheira. If he were to tell you that two ribs is kosher when they're broken kolshkin chada, then you'll be able to answer both questions. You know for sure that that one rib is going to be kosher, v'yamalu, but if he says trefa, akati chadami bayaluhu, then you're still going to have the question about one, and you're vaiter going to have to ask a follow-up question. So why didn't they ask him first about one rib, and then ask him about two ribs? Says the Gemara, Savri, they thought that if they ask him about two ribs, they'll always be able to resolve, no matter what he answers, they'll be able to resolve both sveikos. Because even if he says that when two ribs are nekar, it's a trefa, they'll pay attention to his tone, and based on the tone that he responds to them with, they'll be able to figure out whether one rib being nekar is a trefa as well. Because if he answers them in a calm voice, that if two ribs being nekar is a trefa, they'll realize that one rib is kosher. Because if even one rib being nekar would make it a trefa, imken mirtach karatach, he'd get angry. He'd say chada trefa tarti mi bayi. Even one rib is a trefa. What are you asking me about two? Meaning he'd be so nervous that we're going to be makil on a trefa, that we're asking about two ribs, and he's saying, what are you talking about? You're assuming that one rib is okay? One rib is terrible also, that's also a trefa. So the anger in his voice will reveal the answer about one rib. And if he answers that two ribs are kosher, then obviously one rib is kosher. Then you don't need to pay attention to the tone. So one way or the other, we're going to get the answer to both questions by asking about two ribs. If he answers very calmly, two ribs are a trefa, so then we know that one rib is not a trefa. If he answers angrily, two ribs are a trefa, then we know one rib is also a trefa. And if he says that two ribs are kosher, then obviously one rib is going to be kosher. So says more of a karmi levilo ratach. But he answered them and he didn't seem to get angry. So, it didn't work. So, because Rav still had held sela achas is a trefa, and why didn't he get angry? So says, kibin de karmi lo gistro kamrisu, hainu rit. No, he was sarcastic, and being sarcastic is a way of getting of expressing annoyance and anger. That he said, you're talking about a gistra, you're talking about cutting an animal in half. that so that is a sign of anger, and therefore they did know. They were able to conclude based on his answer that one rib is a problem as well. So I'm Rabbi Shila. Amar Rav Masa Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said three dinim relating to trefus. One of them relates to ribs. Nekrat Selem Eikara. If a rib gets detached from the plate, from the vertebrae, so is one thing. Vilgugol Shenech. So the skull that's softened by being crushed. By a strike, by a wound, beruba in the majority of it, that's a trefa. Ubasar hachofa es rov hakeres. And if something happens to the flesh that covers the majority of the keres on the underside of the animal, so berubo trefa, that's also going to be a trefa. So these are the three trefas that Shmuel identified. The Gemara is going to go through one by one. Nekra tzela meyakara trefa. So if the tzela becomes the rib becomes uprooted from where it's attached, it's a trefa. Uriminu says Gemara. I'll ask you a stira. There's a Mishnah Maseches Ahalos when it talks about Tumas Oel. So the halacha is that an Etzem Kesor is Metame Magu Masa, but it's not Metame Ba'oel. But Rav Minyan or Rav Binyan of Atzamos is Metame even Ba'oel. So how much of the spine and the vertebrae and all of that need to be intact in order for us to call that Rav Minyan or Rav Binyan? That's Metame Ba'oel. So Kamach Hisarun B'Shidra, how much can the Shidra be missing? Can the spine of the dead body be missing in order for us to say that now it's no longer metame ba'ohel? So Beshame Ram Shtei Chulios. Beshame says if it's missing two chulios, or Beisil Ram Chulia Achas, even if it's missing just one vertebrae. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says Kein Letrefa, V'Chein Letrefa. Just like they argue about the status of Tumas Ohel, the same machlokas will apply to a trefa. That according to Beshame, that only two chulios being missing, well, it's considered a chisaron, and therefore it's not metame ba'ohel. Likewise, it's only going to be a trefa when two chulios are missing. Two vertebrae are missing from the spine. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, the behema becomes a trefa even if only one vertebra is missing from the spine. And the Gemara Neirvin tells us it's for the same reason, meaning when they're arguing about how much would have to be missing in order to take away the chiyus of the being, of the animal or the person. And that's what defines tumas ohel, that's what defines trefa. So it's a definitional thing in terms of it's a machlokas and medicine. It's a machlokas. How many vertebrae would have to be missing in order for the chiyus to be removed? So you see, according to Shmuel, that an akiras chulia is matrif, and not the akiras tzela, not just the akira of the rib. So answers Gemara, it's not a stira, because hacha, over here we're talking about tzela below chulia. Hasam, chulia below tzela. Over here we're talking about where it's a rib without the vertebra, and over there it's about the vertebra without the rib, and in both cases Shmuel is going to say that it's a trefa. Well, bishlam etzela below chulia mishkachasla. I understand how you could have such a thing that the rib gets dislodged without the chulia being dislodged. El chulia below tzela mishkachasla. But if the chulia is dislodged, so isn't that by definition that a rib is going to be dislodged as well? So answers the Gemara, no, it's not by definition, because bishli kafli. It could, there are a lot of chulios that don't have ribs attached to it that are at the tail end of the animal where the rib cage stops, and there's still chulios that go along all the way down to the tail. So that's how you can have a chulia that's dislodged without a rib that's dislodged. So Maskel Rav Ashaya asks, according to Shmuel, that says that Beishamah and Bisil argue about trefa as well, not only about Tumas Ohel, and it turns out that the machlokas in this machlokas Beishamah are the makil, right, in the din of trefa, because if it's missing one chulia, Beishamah is going to say not a trefa. Whereas Beis Hillel will say, yes, a trefa. So Beis Hillel is the big megil. So listening to Beis Hillel, there's a whole Mishnah in the fourth parak of Maseches Edios, Mishnah, it's not Mishnah, a whole parak, about the Chumrei Beis Hillel and the Kulei Beis Shammai, cases where Beis Shammai are more megil. So shouldn't this be among the Kulei Beis Shammai and the Chumrei Beis Hillel? So Amalei Rav says, no. Ki itchil linin tumer itchil. The Shaila that was asked about the chiyus of a being that's missing vertebrae was asked in regard to Tumas Ohel. Davul Beshame l'chumra. As far as Tumas Ohel is concerned, the Beshame is more machmir, because of a human skeleton is missing one vertebra, so Beshame is going to say it's still Matame Ba'ohel, whereas Beisila will say it's not Matame Ba'ohel. So Beshame is the machmir as far as the application of this machlokas in Dine Tumah. When you apply this same machlokas in Dine Trefa, in Echiram, Beshame is the mekel. But Be'ikr, this was a machlokas about Dine Tumah. it was not a machlokas about dine trefa. So then the second thing that Shmuel had mentioned, the gulgola shenechbisa, if beruba, that if the majority of the skull were crushed, so but it would also make it a trefa. By Rabbi Yirmi, what do you mean ruba? Rov gova, does it mean the height of the skull from the eyes and up? Oh, rov hekef, or does it mean the circumference of the skull, the majority of the circumference of the skull? Take who the Gemara doesn't have an answer to that. And then the third thing that Shmuel said, ubasar chofer rov hakeres, the flesh that covers the majority of the keres, berubo, by Rav Ashi, what does it mean? What happened to that flesh? Barov karua or barov natal? Do we mean that most of it is ripped or that most of it is removed and it makes it a trefa? But if it's ripped, it would not be a trefa because it's still there. So it says, Mar, tifshot lei miditran. We can answer this based on the Mishnah that we learned back on Daf Mem Beis. Keres hapnimis shenikva. We said that if the inner keres has a hole in it, o shenikra rova chitzona, or the outer keres is most ripped open, that's a trefa. Va'amri b'marava, and they explained in Eretz Yisrael Mishmed Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, in the name of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, kol ha-keres kulo, zoi keres ha-panimi. When we say keres ha-panimi, it really means the entire keres. So ve'ezehu keres ha-chitzona, what then is the keres ha-chitzona? If the entire keres is already described with the words keres ha-panimi, you know what that is? That's basar chofa esrov ha-keres. The keres ha-chitzona is the basar, is the flesh that we're talking about right now. So according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, you see clear in the Mishnah that if rov of the basar, that's chofa, rov hakeres, is nikra, it being ripped, that makes it a trefa. So why, l'chora, that's poshet the question. When Shmuel said that rov hakeres is a trefa problem, we said, what happened to rov basar, that's chofa, the keres, is a trefa problem? We said, what does that mean? What happened to it? That it's nikra, or no, it needs to be worse, it needs to be natal. But over here you see, clearly, if it's nikra, that's enough to make it a trefa, because that's what the keres hachitzona means. Nikra rov hachitzona. That's enough to make it a trefa. So it says, midu taima el Shmuel. The whole suffix was only what Shmuel meant. Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Nachmani, Amar Shmuel, but Shmuel holds makam shein b'melas. Shmuel holds that keres ha-panimi is not the entire keres, and which would then mean keres ha-chitzona means the basar ha-chofas ha-keres. Shmuel has a different definition. He holds keres ha-panimi is a subsection of the keres, and keres ha-chitzona is another subsection of the keres. So if that's nikra, that would be a trefa. But Shmuel's din was about the basar ha-chofas ha-keres, and that we're still not sure. What does he mean happens to rov habasar chofas hakeres to make it a trefa? That it's nikra or that it's natal? And that we don't know. That we leave unresolved. So now we move on to the third topic of today's daf. Right? The first topic was what a bird had to fall on in order to generate risuke varim. The second topic was the rib cage and the vertebrae. And the third topic is going to be what's called drusa. If an animal is clawed, that is one of the trefas. I mean, there are 8 trefas that were halachal moshe misin. One of those is drusa. So drusa means that a chaya or an oaf claws a behemoth or another oaf, and through that it deposits some venom or something, and that's going to kill it. So and that makes it a trefa. Udrusas has a av. So the Mishnah said that udrusas has a av. When a wolf claws something, so then it's a trefa. So Gemara says, well, why give the example of a wolf? So Amar Avidam Rav, bebehemoth min hazeev lemaila, that the din of a drusa by a behemoth is if it was attacked by a wolf or bigger, then it's going to be able to kill it. Ba'ofos, the din of drusa by an ofos, min ha-neitz ulamayla, is something the size of a neitz, some type of bird, ulamayla, and something bigger than that. That has the ability to generate this status of drusa, but something smaller than a neitz is not going to be able to be dores another bird. So says Mar Lemutemai, what are you coming to exclude? Meaning, what are you teaching me when you say be-behema min ha-ze'ev ulamayla, that if the victim were a behema, then only a ze'ev ulamayla is going to cause it to be a drusa. Well, and what won't cause it to be a drusa? So, ilei milimutei chatul, if you're going to tell me what's coming to tell me that a cat will not be able to be dores a behema, well, tanina, well, that's beferish of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, udrusa sase'ev, that when a wolf attacks, it's a trefa. So, it sounds like dafka, a wolf, but any chaya that's less than a wolf, ain't a chinabi, of course, is not going to make it a drusa. V'chitema, maybe you'll say it's not a raya from the Mishnah, because it could be that really the Mishnah holds that a chatul does have drisa, does have the ability to be doresa behema daka, and nevertheless we dafka use an example of ze'ev not to be mema'et a chatul attacking a behema daka, but hakamashmulan, maybe he's coming to tell me the ze'ev begasa nami doris, that if a wolf attacks, even if it attacks a behema gasa, a wolf attacks an ox and a closet, it's going to turn it into a trefa. A cat attacks an ox, it will not turn it into a trefa. But maybe if a cat attacks a behema daka, it will turn it into a trefa. If it claws a behema daka, it will turn it into a trefa. So it says, "Mar, now that can't be." Because Vatanan, the Mishnah says, "Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Drusa says Eiv Bedaka, that even a wolf is only going to make the victim a trefa when it's a behemadaka, when it's a keves and a's a behemadaka. Udrusas ari begasa, meaning if a wolf attacks an ox, it does nothing. It does not. If a wolf claws an ox, it does not make it a trefa. A lion claws an ox, that will make it a trefa. So you see very clearly that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a ze'ev only is going to be able to be dores a behemadaka. It will not have that impact on a behema gasa. So you can't say that the reason we chose ze'ev is to tell me that a ze'ev can be dores even a behema gasa, whereas a chatul can be dores a behema daka. V'chitema, maybe you can say, yeah, but that's Rabbi Yehuda who said that. Rabbi Yehuda miflag palug. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakama. Meaning, the Tanakama holds that if a wolf claws even a behema gasa, it will turn it into a trefa. And Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, a lion that claws a behema gasa will turn it into a trefa. A wolf only clawing a behema daka will turn it into a trefa. Vam Rabbi Yom Bar Yefa, some Rabbi La'a, lo bar Rabbi Yudah lefarish divir chavim. But Rabbi Yom Bar Yefa says in the name Rabbi La'a, it's not true that there is no machlokas. Rabbi Yudah is being mefarish, that when the chacham said that Drusa says that Eve will turn the victim into a trefa, comes along Rabbi Yudah and he says, you should know, he doesn't mean any victim. He only means a behema daka, but if it were a behema gasa, then the Zev would not be able to turn it into a trefa. So the Tana is clearly coming to be memait any chaya that's smaller than a ze'ev and saying that it's not able to be dores, right? So a chatul cannot be dores, even a behema daka, right? So it's obvious. I don't need Rav to come and tell me that that a chatul cannot be dores a behema daka. The Mishnah told it to me, right? The Mishnah's telling me that a ze'ev can only be dores a behema daka. So says Gemara, no, the answer is simple. Gavra, gavra karamis, meaning maybe Rav is coming to be mima'et a chatul and to tell me that it doesn't have a drisa, that the chatul cannot be doris a behema. Aye, but the Mishnah already said it. The Mishnah said drusa says a ev. That's not to be mima'et a chatul. That's to tell me that a ze'ev can be doris a behema gasa. What do you mean? You just said that Rabbi Yehuda says that a ze'ev cannot be doris a behema gasa. And Rabbi Yehuda's being mefarish the Tanakama. Who said Rabbi Yehuda is being mefarish Tanakama? Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes says Rabbi Yehuda is being mefarish Tanakama. I don't have to read the Mishnah that way. Rav didn't have to read the Mishnah that way. Rav read the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Tanakama. That the Tanakama says that is the Eiv that's Dores will make the victim a Trefa. Bechol Mikro, even if the victim is an ox. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and holds that no, Ze'ev will only be dores a behema daka. Okay, so now that I know that that Tanakama holds that a Ze'ev can even attack a behema gasa and make it into a trefa, so therefore it stands to reason that a chatul might still be able to be dores something, that a chatul might still be able to be dores a behema daka. So that's what why I needed Rav to tell me not so. Iba Yasema, another way of being miyashev, is that liolam lamutei chatul, that really ain't a chanami. The Mishnah comes to be memayit a chatul and to tell me that a chatul has no drisa on a behema, and which is exactly what Rav taught me. But ma'u detema or chadamilsa katani, I might have thought that when the Mishnah says drusa says a'ev, it's lav davka. I would not have necessarily known Rav's din from the Mishnah. I would have just thought that why does the Mishnah give an example of a wolf clawing? Because that's what wolves do. Cats don't do it as commonly. So kamashmalan, that's why Rav has to tell me, no, it wasn't lav davka, it was davka. To tell me anything smaller than a ze'ev cannot generate the treifa of a drusa. Amar Rav Amram Amar Rav Chista. Rav Amram says the name of Rav Chista. Drusas chatul unemia. If a chatul or unemia does cloying begedoyim utlaim on a behemah daka, it will turn it into a treifa. Udrusas chulda baofos, and a chulda which is even smaller than a chatul unemia will be dores ofos. So meisve. So the Gemara asks on Rav Chista. Drusas chatul neitz unemia achatinak if lechalal, that if they claw, it has to actually get into the kishkas of the animal and create a nekev in the an actual hole in the intestines of the animal. That's what will make it a trefa. So it sounds like it's not on account of being drusa, it's on account of it being a hole in the intestines. Al drusa lesu, sounds like they don't have any status of drusa. Vitizra neis l doris. Wait, you want to tell me that a neis cannot be dores? Vatanan udrusa neitz, but the Mishnah says a drusa neitz. Says hello kasha, kan ba ofos, kan ba gedayim utlaim. Yeah, the Mishnah is talking about a nates being doris other ofos, so it could be doris another oaf and cause it to be a trefa, but it cannot be doris behemadaka. Mikol makom the Rav Chista kasha, but the Brice is a kasha on Rav Chista because Rav Chista says that a chatul and a nemia do have the ability to be doris, whereas the Brice says they do not. So who do amar kiay tana? It must be Rav Chista holds like the following tana: Titania beribi omer lo amru ein drusa el b'makom she'in matzilin. We only say that a chatul cannot be doris in a case where there's no friction, there's no one fighting back, there's no one trying to protect the animal, so then the chatul will not be dores. But if someone is trying to fight back against the chatul, someone is trying to fight back against the cat, then yesh drusa. Then the cat's going to get angry, and it's going to deposit some venom, and it's going to be a real drusa. You mean to tell me if there's no one fighting back, it's not going to be drusa? There was a tarnagolus by Rav Kana, the rod chatul basra, that a chatul was running after it, and it ran into a room, and it slammed the door shut, and the cat, and the cat clawed on the door, and we found 5 drops of blood from the claws of the cat on the door. There was no one fighting back, all right? There was no one trying to protect the victim, and yet the cat clearly had some venom. That's what we found on the door. Self-defense is also called someone trying to defend it. The Rabbanan would respond, it has some sort of venom, but it's not a venom that's going to be able to be sorif, that's going to be able to accomplish anything. Okay, we'll get to the second lesson of that tomorrow, the Ikada Amri. So somewhat of a funny stopping point, but okay, we'll pick up with that tomorrow.